Judges 16:20, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. For a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about Samson. So Ryan gave a short talk Wednesday evening on Samson, and after he gave that, I told him he did a good job, and I said, I was planning on doing that this Sunday. I said, I need to do an introduction now. So we're going to look at Samson a little bit more in detail this morning. And I want to thank everyone for your attendance this morning. It's a beautiful day. It's hard to believe it's the end of September already, and we're getting near to the end of the year. Our text is going to come from Judges 13 through 16. And when we look at Samson, we see that he was from the tribe of Dan. His father was Manoah. His mother's name is not mentioned. And Samson was the last judge mentioned before the transition to Eli and Samuel. Samson is a one-man army against the Philistines. His parents were dedicated to God. They were people of prayer. And as we're talking about on Wednesday evenings, our class on the home, it's good to have praying parents. They wanted to raise Samson the right way. In Judges 13, verse 8, then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh my Lord, please let the man of God whom you send come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So Samson's parents were interested in knowing what God wanted them to do for their son, for this child. They wanted to raise him up right. Teach us. How should we order the child? And this should be the desire and prayer of every parent to raise a child properly. But like some children with godly parents, Samson went astray. And Samson was probably a disappointment to his parents, as we can relate to that happening today. So Manoah was told by the angel that Samson was to be a Nazarite. And he was special in another way. Samson had great strength. And a Nazarite was a person who took a vow of separation, as we were talking about sanctification this morning, a vow of separation which included certain restrictions. No eating or drinking of grapes or grape juice, not shaving their head, and not going near a dead body. Something else that we see in the story of Samson, this phrase, "and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson." Judges 14:6, "the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. So with his hands, his bare hands, he tore this lion apart because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily." And this was to show Samson that God was going to be with him and he would be able to do great feats for God. Judges 14:19, "the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. He went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house." And Judges 15:14, "when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds were broke from his hands." When we look at Samson, the entire story of Samson is a story of Samson breaking his Nazarite vow. Samson had great physical strength, but he was a spiritual weakling. Samson had three women in his life that are recorded. The first one was his Philistine wife that betrayed him, and she was burned to death. The second, the Philistine harlot in Gaza, that most likely betrayed him by revealing his presence in Gaza. And third, Delilah, who discovered his secret, and her betrayal led to his death. So Samson, in Judges 14, he went down with his father and his mother to Timnah, came to the vineyards. Behold, a young lion roared against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He rent him as he would have a kid. He had nothing in his hand, and he didn't tell his father or mother what he had done. Samson must have separated from his parents on this journey, because they were not around when the lion came. Possibly Samson lagged behind in the vineyard, but God let Samson know that he could do through the strength of the Lord mighty things, and that he should never be afraid of the greatest difficulties that he faced. And friends, we need to learn a lesson right there before we get into the lesson. We need to never be afraid of the difficulties that we might face when God is with us. So Samson, he went down to Timnah. He saw a woman in Timnah, the daughters of the Philistines. He came up, told his father and his mother, and said, "I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife." Then his father and his mother said unto him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all the people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" This goes back to what we were saying this morning. You need to teach your children when they're young who they should marry and not marry. You need to teach them respect, to listen to what you have to say. So Samson, he goes down, he takes this woman of Timnah for his wife. During one of the festivals there that they had this wedding feast, Samson, we would say he was probably a little bit prideful and arrogant and liked to be in control of things. And he made this riddle for everybody that was there. And when he had gone through and killed this lion, when he came back through, there were bees that were in the carcass of the lion and made honey. And so he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." And he said, "If you can answer this riddle, what it is, I'll give you 30 changes of clothing. I'll give that to you." So it was like a bet. "I bet you can't tell me what this riddle is." Well, his wife got it out of him. And his wife told the men. The men told Samson the answer to it. And he became angry that they learned the answer to it. So what does he do? Verse 19, Samson killed 30 men for the 30 garments of the wager. Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, slew 30 men of them, took their spoil, gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. So we see he made the wrong choice in selecting a mate. We see he had anger issues. It was nothing for him to go out and kill 30 men to take their clothes to pay off this bet. But let's consider some of the sins, some other sins of Samson. I want to start with Samson refused the wise counsel of his parents. And friends, when we ignore the wise counsel of our parents today, we disobey God. There are a lot of people that refuse to obey their parents' instructions. The Bible is full of warnings. Proverbs 13:1, "A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." And Proverbs 15:5, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent." Friends, the best place to learn wisdom and experience is not at the feet of some secular teacher, but at the feet of our parents. They are going to care about us more than anyone else. Well, Samson chose evil associations. He chose a Philistine for a wife. He later went to the harlot at Gaza, and then Delilah in chapter 16. And when you stop and think about it, it's a sad day when people of God have to go out of the way and into the world to have a good time. It's not wrong to have associations with people in the world, but they should not be our source of satisfaction and fulfillment in life. Our church family should be. Other Christians should be. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And remember, it's better to be alone than to be with evil companions. And when you think about what we are drawn to, and he evidently was drawn to these Philistines when he saw this Philistine woman and wanted her for his wife, and then engaged in this riddle with the men at the party, he was drawn into situations like that. We need to think, what are we drawn into? We get drawn into different things, and then when we leave those things, we want to go back to them because we have an attachment to them. Someone talks about going on a fishing trip. Oh, it was the greatest fishing trip I've ever been on. Nothing wrong with fishing. Greatest fishing trip I've ever been on. I can't wait to go back on my next fishing trip. They are drawn into that. They are attracted to it. I can't wait to go back on my next fishing trip. When they leave that fishing trip, they want to go back. Friends, how do we feel when we come together in the assembly with God's people? Are we drawn to God? Are we drawn, as we sang this morning, when we want to see Christ face to face? When we leave Monday morning, is it going to be, I can't wait till I get back with God's people? Or is it going to be, I can't wait till I go on that fishing trip? See, we are going to follow our heart. And if our heart isn't on God, it's going to lead us oftentimes into evil company. Did you know we're judged by the people we keep company with? Let's make friends with members of the church, people with high moral standards, not just one or two Christians or a clique. Let's make friends with all Christians, And October, I like October because around this area it's meeting month, and there are three meetings next month that we have opportunity to go and visit with other Christians. Let's make friends with all Christians. If we form the wrong associations with people of the world, there's a possibility it can destroy us spiritually. Samson refused to obey his parents and chose evil companions. Well, Samson gave in. His parents advised him against marrying the woman from Timnah. He gave in to the Philistine crying and told her the answer to his riddle. Later, he gave in to Delilah. He told Delilah where his strength lay. Now, think about Samson and Daniel, who refused the king's edict. Compare Samson with the three Hebrew children cast into the fiery furnace. Compare Samson with Joseph, who did not yield to the advances of Potiphar's wife. So you got Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Joseph. We have these characters recorded for us that did not give in. Friends, we need to be people today that will not give in. We need courage to say no. Sometimes we might be afraid we might be made fun of, afraid somebody might laugh at us. You mean you're going back to your church on Sunday evening? You mean you're going to Bible study on Wednesday evening? Yes, I am. and I want to be there. We don't, friends, we don't want to give in to people trying to take us back into the world. We need to stand up for our principles. We need young people to be taught that when they are young. We need older people to set the right example for young people to follow. We need conviction in our lives. Again, we need to put God first. It all goes back to the book of Deuteronomy, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The world respects convictions. And I use this example, and I will never forget it. One of the companies I worked at as a manager, and they did a lot of entertaining with customers, a lot of entertaining and a lot of drinking. And when I was hired, that was the one question they didn't ask me on the interview, because they assumed everybody drank. And this, they were talking about something, and this older guy, old gruff guy, and he said, "Bruce, do you drink?" And I said, "No, George, I don't." And he paused, and he waited like 2 or 3 seconds. It seemed like an eternity. I didn't know what he was going to say. And he said, "Well, don't let them talk you into it." And he was a big drinker. And he did that to schmooze his clients and make more money. But he respected me. He respected me. And he said, "Don't let them talk you into that." But friend, Samson gave in. Friend, don't be like Samson. Be like Joseph, Daniel, and the others in the Bible that did not give in. Are you under pressure to give in? Sure, we are all under pressure to give in to something. We are. But we need to stand up under that pressure and not give in. We see that Samson committed fornication. Judges 16:1, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her." So Samson violated one of the Ten Commandments. Samson violated God's law then. People are still violating God's law today. We looked at that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning. And friends, God's marriage laws go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back. Some people have not learned this lesson today. Some people in the church have not learned that lesson, that God's law on marriage is from the beginning. It has never changed. It's a universal law that applies to everybody, everywhere, equally. How do I know that? One of the ways is by this one word, whosoever. Whosoever. When you see that word, and it's used in talking about marriage and divorce, whosoever is a universal word. It applies to everyone. Some people believe God has a law of marriage for the Christian and a different law for the non-Christian. That's a false doctrine. It's not consistent with what the Bible teaches. So stop and think about this. Some think, well, there's one law for the Christian, there's another law for the non-Christian. Well, does God have two laws for mankind, for everything? Does he have two laws? One law for the Christian and one for the non-Christian? No. We are all under one law. We are either obeying God or we are disobeying God. Why do people like this false teaching of two marriage laws? Because of adultery and fornication. And people want to get around the fact that they've been married and divorced multiple times, and that they have no right to the one that they are with. And then they get baptized. And they will not put that maid away, because they say that happened before they were baptized. Friends, wrong is wrong, no matter when it happens or who it happens to. Some will not accept the Gospels today as part of the New Testament. They say they were written before the cross. What we are to follow is from Acts on. And why do they say that? Because of Jesus' teaching of marriage and divorce in Matthew 19 and what Mark records. They want to get around that, to ignore the teaching of Christ on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Friends, whenever someone asks the question, is it wrong for a Christian, there's a problem. They are making the false assumption that there is a law for the Christian and a non-Christian. Can a Christian work on Sunday? These are some of the questions you hear asked. Can a Christian work on Sunday? Can a Christian be a policeman? Can a Christian serve in the military? Friends, sin is a violation of God's law, period. People need to study and harmonize the scriptures. So I've heard people say, you know, it's wrong to work on Sunday. And I would agree, it's not good. We need to put God first. But think about their logic. They say it's wrong. They'll say it's wrong to work on Sunday, and they'll go as far as to say it's a sin. But then what do? On the way to Bible study, they'll stop at the gas station, want the gas station owner to be open. After services, they'll go to the restaurant, want the restaurant to be open. They'll want to go and shop. They'll want all the shops to be open. So are they supporting those people in sin? You see, there's one law. There's one law, and we want to obey that law. And there's one law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So many people are caught up in the sin of fornication. Again, that's a general term for all kinds of sexual sins. And many Christians have become unfaithful because of fornication. And I don't know why. It may be because they've left the Lord way back here, and it hasn't become apparent till 9 months later, and there's a child born. Because people can repent of anything. They can repent. Sometimes it appears Satan is winning that battle, and we need to stop him. Samson committed fornication, and it's still a sin today as it was during his time. 1 Corinthians 6, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. And again, that all of that, well, except for adulterers, all of these homosexual sodomites falls under that classification of fornicators, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Sanctified, set apart, consecrated for the Lord's service. Be not deceived. We cannot live wrong and die right. Galatians 5, talking about the works of the flesh. They're evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Just as I also told you in time past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, Samson surrendered the source of his strength. Judges 16:17. And he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Friend, God wants us all to be strong, morally, spiritually. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. He wants us to be strong. How do we become weak? We become weak by sin. When we surrender our strength by sin, how can we expect to draw people to Christ and to be one to Christ when they see us living a life of sin? Each one of us preaches a sermon to people every day by the life that we live. How are you preaching to people? What do they see in your life? As we looked at them on Wednesday evening, what have they seen in your house? So Samson became disloyal to his vow. He touched the dead carcass of the lion. He touched a jawbone of a donkey. It's implied he participated in the drinking party. He allowed his hair to be cut off. She said, the Philistines are on you, Samson. You woke out of a sleep and said, I'll go out as at other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. So he broke his vow. And instead of the weight of hair, now he is experiencing the weight of guilt. He knows the Spirit of God left him. Friend, we have made a vow to God. We made that great confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we turn around and violate his laws. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we are going to act like we believe it. You say that Jesus is your Lord, but then you do what you want. You live for yourself. Neglect reading your Bible. Neglect sharing God's word with others. We don't want to be like Samson. We've made a vow to God also. So let's consider the consequences of his sins, the price that he paid for his sins. Galatians 6, 7 and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap that. Judges 16, 19, she lulled him to sleep on her knees, called for a man and had him shave off his 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. We see with Samson, his sin cost him his strength. And sin will do the same thing to us. It will zap us of our strength. 1 Corinthians 11:30, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. When sin zaps us of our strength, we lose our influence over others because we are sick. Sin makes us weak and sickly. I have to ask myself, how faithful am I? How strong am I? Well, sin blinded Samson. Literally, figuratively. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Friends, sin blinded Samson, and sin will blind you. It'll blind each and every one of us. We shouldn't be arrogant and proud like Samson and think that it will not affect us. Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire that you may be rich, white garments that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Many people are blind today. We need to open our eyes to sin, the nature of sin, to the consequences of sin. There's just so much indifference to sin today. We don't hear that word anywhere. And when we used to be able to say right and wrong, we can't even say right and wrong today. That's just your opinion. I remember growing up seeing people regularly come to the front asking for prayers, confessing their sins. We don't see that much anymore. We don't. We need to open our eyes to sin. Sin cost Samson his freedom. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. When we sin, we make Satan our master and we lose our freedom. Thanks be to God, we can throw off the shackles of sin when we obey Christ. It costs him his self-respect. When you sin, sin destroys your self-respect. If you sin against your spouse, your children, it damages your relationship. Whether the sin of fornication, the sin of speaking harshly, any sin is going to cost you your self-respect because you aren't living up to that standard that we know we ought to. Ultimately, it cost him his life. Sin will take us down. You think of the prodigal son. He left the ease and pleasures of home and he ended up in a pig pen. The story of Samson, almost everybody knows it, but the applications, people don't think about it. It's more like a Hollywood movie. It's just for entertainment. That's a really interesting story. That's a really, you know, Samson and Delilah, that's a really interesting story. That would sell a lot of movie tickets. And we never think how it affects our life and how it affects our soul's eternity. Friend, don't repeat the mistakes of Samson. Judges 16, verse 21, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass. They put out his eyes and bound him with chains. His eyes were the inlets of his sin. That's where it all began. He saw that woman from Timnah and wanted to take her as his wife. He saw her, he wanted her. His father said, "Why?" He said, "I want her." It all began with his eyes. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, the other with his left hand. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. You stop and think about how the Bible treats different characters in the Bible. It tells the good, the bad, the ugly of them. Samson killed and destroyed more of the Philistines in his death than he did during his life. He was to deliver the Israelites, but he set a poor example in himself. But we see, we need to learn so many lessons. This is just a few of the lessons. God can use any of us. We all sin and fall short, but God can use us. But friends, we need to learn from the mistakes of others. We need to learn from the mistakes of others. Please learn from the mistakes of Samson. Don't let sin take you down that path where there's a point of no return. Don't let sin make you where you disrespect yourself and are led astray. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, need to ask for prayers, need to make your life right, if we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.